Thank you for tuning in to Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage, where a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. For more information about Heritage Church of God, contact our church office at 419-861-9520 or visit us at our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to a message inspired by God.
So if you'll join me, we'll have a word of prayer and thank God that we're breathing after that wonderful dinner. Still among the living. So thank you, Lord. It's good to be here. We are grateful for your many blessings, for the things that you give us each day. We pray tonight, Lord, that you will open our hearts and our minds as we look into your word. Will you feed our souls, our spirits? And Father, we pray that the blessings will be upon us tonight and everyone that's here, if they have a prayer request, that you might hear their need and their request. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, some of you have been walking a long time with the Lord. I understand that. Some of you just may be relatively new in your walk with the Lord. And the subject tonight, I don't mean to be speaking to the choir, but it is something that I believe will help you in your journey until we see Jesus someday. There's a priorities of the Christian life that I want us to look at tonight. They're important priorities. And the reason I want us to look at them is I think it'll be helpful for us to understand, helpful, that there is no way that a non-Christian, other than through the Holy Spirit, will fully understand the significance of Christian priorities. You see, sometimes we think that every time we talk about our faith and what's going on, that other people in the world are just going to understand it and it's going to be just fine. But that's not true. You see, Christian values are removed from the value system of this world. As a matter of fact, when you become a Christian, and we talked about the fact of becoming born again, when you become a Christian, you literally change your value system. See, we are born and raised and we grow up in the ways of this world, so we grow up with the values of this world. And those values, some of them may be good, some of them may be amoral, they don't affect anybody, but for the most part, many of the values, and most of them, of this world are values that are not healthy for us, but we grow up with them. And you've seen people live under the values of this world. And so what I want to do tonight is put this in a capsule form. Jesus had a very clear capsule statement with regards to our priorities and our values. Now, it's not the entire passage I want to go into because I'm going to talk to you about how he put it into perspective. But in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, this was his statement on how to prioritize your Christian life. He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, the reason that he said that, first of all, is because the kingdom of God and his righteousness are contrary to the kingdom of this world. We grow up in a world that is totally contrary to the values of Christ's kingdom. And so, even among some Christians today, priorities become some little knotty problems. You see, establishing problems in the kingdom of God, you might say, is a pervasive problem. Because once we start establishing priorities according to the kingdom of God, it permeates everything that we have. It goes through our relationships, through our friends, through our family. And I can remember when I first became a Christian, my lifestyle had changed so drastically that those people that were close to me thought I was just on a Jesus kick. And as the values kept on changing and my life kept changing, they finally realized, whoa, he's got something here because it's not going away. He keeps on changing his values. They were used to David's old values. In fact, probably when I was a kid with my ADHD, they thought I was kind of a goofy kid and a problem child. As a matter of fact, some of my family even made this statement, well, he'll never amount to anything. Now, I don't know that any of you have had that experience, but it involves our lives and our church and the body of believers. You see, in order to get a hold of the right perspective and have production, or to produce something from your life, and we'll talk about that probably next week, but when you talk about your purpose in life, what you were designed for, what God has for you, it's important to know that the priorities that you establish in your life and will continue to establish will have an adverse effect on your life. You see, establishing priorities is a personal problem. 4 out of 5 churches today are on the decline. Not because God is prejudiced, not because God is not doing what he should do, not because he doesn't want the church to grow. The responsibility for the decline cannot be assigned to God. It's not about God. The responsibility rests in part to you and I, and Christians who say they've come to Christ, but their values have not changed. They're still living in the system of the world, but the system of Christ has not permeated their entire life, and so their life has not completely been changed. Now, you and I have heard many good thoughts, and we've read many good things about intelligent people having plans for our lives. There are many books written about people and what they should do and how they should prioritize their lives. And I know there's been many of you around that you've heard of all of them. And some of them might be this one. Here's how you prioritize your Christian life: God, home, work, and church. That's one. Another one is God, church, home. Another one may be God, home, church, recreation. Now, my friends, even the ministry today, clergy, have come up with a static list of a number of things that you should do in order to support their philosophical position of ministry. Some people say if you have good homes, you'll have good churches, but that isn't true. You see, the verse that I just read, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," is saying that if your relationship with God is to be what it ought to be, you first must cease from any physical gratification which is out of harmony with God's will for you. The word mortify means to put to death. It means a turning of the will from self to God. You just have to go with God. I mean, that's the key. So there's a clear understanding of the priority program presented in God's word. And as we look at it, you'll understand that these priorities are legitimate. First of all, there's a couple questions to ask. God, are you taking him at his word? Or better yet, are you willing to take God at his word? The other thing is this: are you willing to respond to God's directions? So God puts down the priority system. And there's 2 steps in the system. That's all you have to remember tonight in this teaching. There's 2 steps. The first step is this: your relationship to his person. Everybody would agree that there's got to be a relationship if a person is to have a connection with God. But in that relationship that we have with God, there's some things that get in the way. Some things that we have to deny personally in order to maintain that relationship. Otherwise, we're going to have, someone told me they went on this trip and they had 1 foot in Tennessee and 1 foot in, was it North Carolina? Where was it? Okay. You cannot have 1 foot in the world and follow God and have 1 foot in Christ. In other words, you have to be totally committed and prioritize your life to what God's will is and what the Holy Spirit has for your life. Let me read you a passage of Scripture. It might help you. And I always wondered, why did God put this in here? And I've learned through it. It's Colossians 3, 1 through 10, which we are going to pursue tomorrow night with Carl. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above. Didn't say set your hearts on this world or the things in this world. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Now, it continues on in the verse, and it gets kind of sticky. He says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, and this is where it gets kind of tough, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry because of the life you have once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self and its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. You see, the relationship part that we're talking about tonight, not the purpose, but the relationship part that you have in Christ when you come into Christ through the born-again experience is a relationship that involves the total person. You see, God doesn't want a part of you. God wants all of you. God doesn't want to be treated as if you just give him a little piece now and then. That's why it's so important as you learn to grow in Christ, as you learn to worship God, as you learn to study, as we would do in this lesson tonight, God wants all of you. He doesn't want you saying, well, you know what, God, I thought about you last week. It just doesn't work that way. Why? Because he wants everything that is you. Because the scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember the trichotomy we talked about? You see, it's right here in this verse. May your whole spirit, okay, the heart of everything, where Christ resides, and may your soul, and may your body, there's the trichotomy. You're made up of a spirit, which is Christ. Your soul is the mind, emotions, and will. And your body, they work in conjunction. The spirit that is in you, where the issues of the heart flow out of, controls your mind, emotions, and will. In that passage, you notice he mentioned the word anger. If the anger is not controlled by the Spirit of God himself, then what happens is the anger is going to be controlled by the things of the world or the spirit of the world. Getting kind of deep. I hope you can stay with me. If the spirit in man is righteousness and you have a right relationship with Christ, he lives in you. Therefore, you set your hearts and your minds on the things that Christ would want you to do, that God the Father would want you to do. And in the scriptures here, he lays out a whole bunch of these things. And the truth of the matter is, if your spirit is right, then guess what? Your body is going to be right because your soul, meaning the mind, emotions, and will, are going to take in, garbage out, it doesn't work, are going to take in the things of God. And when through the Spirit of Christ you take in the things of God, then they will change the heart. So what's happening? You have been raised, I have been raised in a depraved world. We've been raised in sin. Oh boy. You know, I have to tell you something tonight, and I don't usually do this, but I really was raising my head. And Mary happened to, we were flipping channels the other day, and the show that I just detest came on, and it happened to be The Talk. Now, listen to me. When people start talking about the sins of others, I didn't say that. Somebody said it over there. But you just think about it. Just think for just a moment. Here's how it works. When you start talking about the sins of others, and then, you know, I thought, well, that's bad enough. See? Because now you're sitting there talking about somebody else's sin. But here's the real kicker that got me. Everybody, when they did it, in the audience applauded. So now I'm thinking, wait a minute. I thought of the verse. Remember when the woman was caught in adultery? And she, he said to the guys watching him, let him that is without sin cast the first stone. I thought to myself, they're all casting stones, and yet they're probably the greatest sinners of all of them. Sitting there in the audience applauding someone else's sin. And I thought, wait a minute, why don't they ask them to stand up and ask them if they're casting the first stone? For, you know, if you're without sin, you can do that. You see how our human system works, though? Now, I'm not going to go on a kick of, you know, TV stations. But it brought something to me. I started realizing, wait a minute, what are they doing? They're covering their own sin by applauding. Because now the emphasis isn't on me, it's on somebody else. So I can do all these bad things that the scripture talks about and nobody knows because I'm pushing it out to somebody else. You see, Jesus was pretty smart when he kind of brought this up. He says, your whole spirit, if your spirit is right, then the mind and the emotions and will, which is the soul part of the trichotomy, is working because it's taking in, like you're doing tonight. You're taking in spiritual things. And those spiritual things then will act out in the body. If you're taking in evil things, which all of us grow up with, then what's our reaction? Our reaction is to clap at somebody else who's going through trouble. Our reaction then is to get angry. But angry not in a amoral way, not in an anger that says, wait a minute, you have a justified anger here. But our anger is an anger that comes from the flesh and not from the spirit. So as we look at this relationship, all of a sudden, here's what it does. It affects your physical life. See, sin starts to affect our physical life. We do things really strange and differently. And somehow we justify what we're doing. If we're reading the scripture as I'm reading tonight, you have to look at what God says, and if God says don't do it, don't do it. When you're changing from a system that is a physical system of this world into the spiritual system of Christ, into his kingdom, and I hope you're changing, because the two can't live together. So what happens is we begin changing in the physical nature. Now, that works in a couple of ways. Change is one that you want to turn to God and do what the value system is of God, but sometimes it's not easy in this world while you're making that change. I'll illustrate. A good friend of mine, I worked with him at the telephone company. He went into the power company and began working out of Napoleon Power. I had found Christ and my life was changing, and I had committed my priorities to do what Christ told me to do. And on a Wednesday night, we went to church. And so we had got ready. We're going to take off for church. And who knocks on the door? Bob and his wife. Bob came to the door with wonderful gesture. He had a six-pack of beer in his hand. And he thought that we were just of the world still, and he could come in, and we'd have a good time. We hadn't seen him for ages. I hadn't seen him since he went to work for the power company. So I said, well, I'm in a dilemma. Now, what do? I got to make a choice. So I said a quick prayer, and the Holy Spirit said, go to church. So I told him, I said, Bob, we don't need the beer because we don't drink anymore. Lives are changed, and we're church people now, and we go to the fellowship. And it wasn't an easy decision, believe me, because I didn't want to offend him. So then he said, as soon as I said that, well, I understand, Dave. I'll take it out to the car. In fact, your dad lives right across the street. I said, yeah, he does. He says, you know what? He says, you go to church, and I'm going to go over and visit. My wife and I go visit with your parents, and then when you get back, we'll come over. Now, that actually happened. We went all the way to Sylvania, went to church, hurried back home thinking, well, I doubt if he's going to be there. I go past my dad's house, and his car's still there, and they had a great time together. About 15 minutes after I pulled in, Bob comes over to the house. He comes in and his wife, and we're sharing our new faith with them. And I thought, wow, this is really cool, because I did what God wanted me to do. The value system was different than my old value system. You see how it just works. Now, I'm not saying everybody here has got that same issue, but there is things in your life, if you read the context of that Colossians passage, that he says you got to stay away from, you got to make some changes because you're not in this world anymore. Christ has entered into you and developing a new value system. Well, Bob stayed way into the night. I mean, it was after midnight when we got done talking. And I'll never forget because he left and we prayed together. And he said as he left the door, I wanted you to know that I have not talked about God like this since I was in the Navy. Now, him and his wife had a long discussion on the way home that night. They had told us before they walked out the door that in 2 weeks they were getting a brand new mobile home and they wanted us to come right away and share the joy with them. 2 weeks to the day, I got this phone call from his wife. She said, Dave, I didn't know who else to call, but I had to call you. Could you pray for me? Bob just got electrocuted. And I said, sure, I'll be glad to pray. And I wondered, why did you call me? And then it dawned on me. You called me because the Holy Spirit set it all up. Had I made the other choice, had I said, no, come on in, we'll talk, and, you know, you can drink a beer and go ahead. But what I'm saying is the Holy Spirit checked me and told me to do what God wanted me to do. You see what happens when you throw your whole body into it? When you say, Lord, here I am. I'm surrendered to you. All of me is here. We went to the funeral, and she told the story, several others. Bob had begin to change his life and follow Christ. It was 4:45, 15 minutes before quitting time. He went up in the bucket truck and he had a rookie that was with him down below and they had set the outriggers, but he had set them wrong. It was not stable. Bob had a hold of a ground up on the pole and they were in such a hurry that they forgot to sleeve up, put the rubber sleeves on. When the bucket truck shifted, he had a hold of the ground and his one hand went right up into the high tension, 17,000 volts. Blew right through him and blew the bottom of his feet out. Now she shared this with me, devastated. But at least I could say to her, you know, he knew God and he believed in Jesus. And she says, yes, and on the way home, he told me that that's where he needed to be. So I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to leave the rest up to God. But I wanted to say that to you this way, because by having the priorities right, by surrendering everything to God, by living for Christ, these things change. The verse is saying simply, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless And in Colossians, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, is saying that your relationship with God needs to be what he meant it to be. Cease from physical gratification. And boy, folks, those of you that have been around a while, you've grown up through it, we live in a world that sells physical gratification. That's their system. Now, that is out of harmony, as much as I hate to tell you, because I know there's always resistance. Satan doesn't want it out. It is out of harmony with God's will. It's not in harmony with his will. So the word mortify, put to death, means turning off from your will, from self to God. So a person has to begin changing. In the psychical or the soul life, in your anger, do not sin, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold, Ephesians 4, 26 and 7. It's a portrayal of the fact that anger, if it has its source in the physical or the psychical part of the individual, then it is a bad part to have in a heart condition. And what happens is you begin to become frustrated without Christ being in and surrendered to in your psyche. As a matter of fact, what will happen is you begin having frayed nerves. You begin having emotional stress. You begin having fatigue, because the brain is where God wants to work, but if Satan gets in, I have a dear friend that fights it all the time. Satan wants to fight our psychic. He wants to get in. That's why Jesus said, or the scripture said, to think on these things, think on these good things, to think on those things of Christ, because Satan wants to play with your brain, and he does it a lot. You see, there's a big difference, as I said before, between amoral anger, as I illustrated, I think, last week with the Bible, and moral anger. As a matter of fact, anger of the soul with the intent to harm somebody else is not a soul that is driven by the Holy Spirit of God. So it's very hard when you come to the place of forgiveness and cleansing when you're trying to do it in the system of this world. By the way, you hear people talk about forgiveness in this world. There is no forgiveness in this world. The only forgiveness you ever have will come through Jesus Christ. Somebody can say, if they're a non-Christian, I forgive you, but it doesn't mean anything, because they have to forgive through the power of Christ. That's the system of Christ, not the system of this world. Then there is the spiritual life, or the spirit part. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. A step-by-step explanation of your relationship with Christ. So you see how important it is that you prioritize, not by a man's list. It's dangerous. See, when you're walking in the Spirit and Christ is living in you, this will happen to you. You'll think you got it all prioritized, and you think you got it all together, and something is going to change it, and you will perceive it in the flesh as an interruption. But it's not an interruption, not by this world. It's a divine intervention. It's what God is intending for you to do. It's when the Holy Spirit has your antenna up and you think you're going one way and you think you're going to the restaurant and you think it's all laid out. There's a list right there. You're going to eat and fellowship and get off of the menu, and the waitress walks up and the Holy Spirit says, you need to talk to her because she's going through some trouble here. And by the Spirit of Christ, you minister to that person. You see, I used to think that because I was ADHD when I was young, it was a curse, but I realize now it's a blessing. Because being sold out to self is exciting. When you have Christ and you've surrendered everything to God and you're sold out to the flesh, the antenna's up all the time. And you'll be in places where you can't even imagine. And all of a sudden, you'll minister to somebody. God will show you something that's going on. It's amazing life. A spirit-filled life is a very exciting life to live. Even in tough times, the Spirit who is in you will encourage you, empower you, and bless you. So, try it. Try Christ. We've talked a lot in our fellowship and in our church, and we've used the word surrender. But surrender means I'm giving my all to Jesus. And I'm saying, Jesus, in my spirit, work through me. I'll live by your system. I'll follow your values. I'll stay away from the values of the world, which, by the way, are always coming against you. Everything that you do in this world, when you're living in the Spirit, seems contrary to the Spirit of God. But Christ, who is in you and working through you, will flow through you and minister to people out there. And I guarantee you, you'll have such a blessing, you won't be able to stand it. And yes, there's going to be times when you live in that world that you're going to have to say no to the system of the world. Don't live there anymore. I don't live there anymore. Amen. So that's the first part. Now, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise next week, which, by the way, I am so happy with being brief. We're going to talk about his relationship and your relationship to his purpose, which I covered a little bit now, but here's where it really gets exciting. Because once you know that you're surrendered to the Holy Spirit and he is manifesting himself through you, he's working through you, then all of a sudden you have great purpose. You have purpose. Without fear and intimidation, I'm serious. You will talk to people about your faith. You will say something that, and the Holy Spirit will show something up to you and you'll say, whoa, I better listen to him. I had a kid today. And I've realized after we've been there quite some time, I won't tell you what restaurant it is. It's kind of like my little chihuahua. But anyway. But there's a nice fellow there that that I really enjoy, and he is a little slow. And today, he wanted to talk to me. And I was preoccupied because the rest of the group wanted to hear "The Sun is Shining Brightly and I Could Hardly Wait," you know that one. And I got into about two lines of it and I realized he was still talking. And I shut up. And I called him by name and I says, tell me what you're going to do. And he was so excited about the fact that he was in an Olympic volleyball game tonight. And I just let the Holy Spirit lead me. I said, wait a minute, flesh, it's time to shut up because God is doing something wonderful here. And we had the best conversation, and I just listened to what the joy was on his heart. Do you know God will do that for you? Do you know that you may say, well, wait a minute, did you hit him with the Bible and you get born again right there? No, God didn't find me that quick either. It takes time, but when the relationship is right with God, the Holy Spirit works through you. And I guarantee you this, like my friend Bob, who died, I always thought it was interesting that we were the first one she called. You see, the reason she called is because she had no other alternative but to call somebody that knew how to pray. And my friends, if you can do nothing else other than pray for people, then you be that instrument of peace and prayer that the world needs so desperately. Amen. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for this lesson. To me, it's very deep because it takes a lot of time to look way inside of us. Lord, we don't want to let go. But when we let go and we let you flow through our lives and our hearts and we walk the system of God's grace and mercy and love, then the things of this world will lose their flair. And I pray tonight, Lord, that each one of us might have that blessing of your Spirit within us, that we might surrender tonight if we have anything that we're holding out, that you will fill our lives and our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I can't sing and I can't dance, so you are dismissed and so happy. God bless you.
You've been listening to Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the Red Brick Church in the Valley. For more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, please contact our church office at 419-861-9520 or visit us on our website, heritagechurchofgod.org. This has been a production of Heritage Outreach Ministries.